The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. As we approach Thanksgiving Day, we realize that many celebrations may be different this year, that people are not able to travel and get together in groups as they have at other times. But surely we must acknowledge that there is yet much for which we can and should give thanks. So our message today is entitled, Giving Thanks to God. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you and that Thanksgiving Day will still be a special time in your life. I encourage you to write and let us know that you have listened to the program. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Giving thanks to God is a theme that runs through the Bible. All the way from the book of Genesis, when Abraham's servant was thanking God for leading him to the house of his master's brethren, to the book of Revelation, where we read of the redeemed saints in heaven giving thanks. The spirit of thanksgiving should permeate our lives. It's not just an exercise at mealtime or a duty to be remembered for special events, but we are to give thanks always. My subject, giving thanks to God. For the text, we turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, read beginning with verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the chapter begins in verse 1 with this admonition, be ye followers of God as dear children. And then we're admonished to walk in love, to love even as Christ loved us. What a tremendous love that was. John tells us in his first epistle that we are to love not just in word, but in deed and in truth. And then this is followed by a list of sins that we're told to avoid. And a reminder that you were sometimes darkness, but are now children of light. So, you're therefore not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. You're to walk circumspectly. That signifies you're to be aware of what is around you. Look around. Be aware of dangers. Avoid making quick and bad decisions. Walk circumspectly. Then verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then our text, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Now, there are many obstacles to giving thanks. The first being, some do not give thanks because they do not know God. We look at the book of Romans chapter 1 and see that there are those who reject the truth about God. Beginning with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word literally means to hold it down, to suppress it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. It reveals that God has put something in the heart of every human being to know there is a God. And when somebody says, I don't believe in God because there's not enough evidence, that's just not so. There is clear evidence in his creation to know there is a creator, there is a God. And there is that which he has put in every human being to know there is a God. Now, verse 21 says, because when they knew God, that does not mean that they knew him as their Savior, but they knew that there is a God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They were not thankful. If you don't believe in the true and living God, then you're not going to give thanks to God. And so here are these individuals that reject the evidence God has given them, both that which is external in viewing his handiwork and that which is internal, which God has put in every human being to know there is a God. So those who deny the existence of God, those who would say that this earth upon which we live and the human beings that live upon it all came about through a process of evolution and do not acknowledge him as the creator, do not give thanks. They are unthankful. And that's a characteristic of those who are unregenerate. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's one of the characteristics of those who do not know God. They have not been regenerated. They're not born again. So in these last days, in these perilous days, here are the traits that are prevalent, and you can certainly see it on every hand. Boasters, lovers of their own selves, covetous, greedy, proud, unthankful, unholy. And then we would also consider that pride is a barrier to thanksgiving. Read about a man who was elevated in pride in the book of Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Talk about pride. Look at what I've done. This is my kingdom. I built it by my power. I built it for my glory. He's exalted. Now, verse 31 says that while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Now, Daniel had warned the king a year earlier that this would occur, that because of his pride, he would lose his kingdom. But the king had ignored it. And so he's still standing there with this self-righteous, self-exalted, boastful attitude. Look what I've done. This is the great kingdom that I've built by my power and for my glory. But God says, your kingdom is going to be taken away from you. And you know how the rest of it unfolds. That the king was put down on his all fours like the beast of the field and made to eat grass till the dew settled upon him. What humiliation for this proud king to be reduced to appearing like an animal. Certainly, Nebuchadnezzar was not giving thanks to God. He didn't say, I thank the God of heaven for giving me life and health and the ability to give direction to the building of this kingdom. I thank God because he has elevated me and allowed me to occupy the throne. None of that. He's lifted up in pride, and therefore he did not give thanks. Daniel had specifically said to him, break off thy sins by righteousness. But he ignored the admonition. And then coupled closely with that, another one of the obstacles to giving thanks is the wrong view of self. Certainly Nebuchadnezzar had the wrong view of himself, but there are other situations that might not go to that extreme. But still, the incorrect view of self hinders the giving of thanks. We go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, we've heard it said by many educators over the years that the great need is to build self-esteem. That if children can just be taught to have a higher view of self, that many of the problems that are encountered will be resolved. But I think we can see much evidence that the problem is not a lack of self-esteem. It's a lack of Christ esteem. It's because self is exalted. Self is esteemed. He says, for you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. A person has a feeling of entitlement. With that attitude, they're not going to be given thanks because they're calculating where they're coming short. I feel like I'm entitled to so many things, many of which I don't have. I haven't been given the things that I think I deserve. I deserve more than I have. The spirit of jealousy, envy. See what somebody else has. And down deep you're saying, that's just not fair. Why do they have all that and I don't? I'm sure I work as hard as they do, probably harder. Why is it? So instead of giving thanks, there's complaint because of envy. Individual who doesn't have a clear sight of himself certainly does not possess the spirit that was demonstrated by the patriarch Jacob when he said, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. If you start on that premise, you're going to have a totally different outlook about life. You're not saying, I'm special, I'm unique, I'm superior to other people, I deserve something. Jacob says, I deserve nothing. If the mercies of God could be calculated in such a way to decide, here is that which is the least of his mercies, I'm not entitled to that. So if you have that understanding, that outlook, God's not obligated to me, I don't deserve anything, then you'll be more inclined to have a thankful spirit. Jesus gave that lesson in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke that certainly depicts what we're talking about. Verse 11, The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. You might say, well, now, wait a minute here. This man's giving thanks. Oh, but look what he says. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. What kind of thanksgiving is that? That's just an expression of pride. Lord, take note of me. I'm not like these renegades around me here. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not as this publican is over here smiting upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Not only that, I'm extremely committed in a religious way because I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, a person that has that spirit is not going to give thanks. Not going to give thanks to God for his mercies. No doubt, you've been taught well enough. You've read the scriptures well enough that you would never, never be guilty of saying out loud what this Pharisee said. But has there ever been a time that you've looked around at some other individuals and you really felt, thank God I'm better than they are? I may have my faults, but I'm not that bad. I do a pretty decent job. I go to church on a regular basis and look at what all I've done. Boasting. That's what this Pharisee was doing. He wasn't praying when he said, I thank God. He was boasting. Look at the sins I've avoided. Look at the things that I have done which are commendable. That interferes with the giving of thanks. And then a murmuring or complaining spirit certainly will disrupt a thankful spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And verse 6 tells us that these things were written for our example. Referring, of course, to what happened with Israel when they were brought out of Egyptian bondage. Now they had moaned and groaned and cried out to God for help. They suffered under the whip of the taskmaster. They wanted deliverance. And God raises up Moses to bring them out. They see that great miracle in the crossing of the Red Sea of God bringing them safely across and drowning Pharaoh's host in the depths. You would think, having been brought out of bondage, having been delivered with such a mighty hand, having already observed the 10 plagues that were sent upon the Egyptians, they knew that God was for them and blessing them, but they start on their journey in the wilderness and immediately they begin to complain. They complain. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God. Think of it. They'd been crying out to God for help, and God now has helped them. God has delivered them by his mighty power, and they have the boldness and audacity to speak against God. Oh, my friends, may we search our hearts. If Satan should ever ensnare us, and there were thoughts that we entertained against God, may we quickly forsake them and confess them and pray that God give us grace to overcome. They spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? It looks like there was some evil design at work here. We'd have been better off where we were. We might as well go back. For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this like bread. So they spoke against God. They spoke against God's appointed leader. They didn't like the situation that they were facing. They didn't want to face any challenges. They didn't want any discomfort. They didn't want to have to walk by faith. They didn't want to have to depend on God on a daily basis. With that kind of a critical spirit, nothing is ever quite right. Some people are more prone to complain than others. And if it's your situation in life to be around somebody who is a chronic complainer, you know how unpleasant that can be. Because that attitude rubs off on other people, and it robs even those that have to listen to it of their joy. A person that's possessed of a critical spirit, they complain about their circumstances. They complain in the summertime that it's too hot, in the wintertime it's too cold. They complain it's either too much rain or not enough. They become critical of people. They lack love. They lack compassion. As they view other people's faults, instead of letting love cover a multitude of sins, they focus on those faults. They're very quick to point them out. They talk about people. A person who is full of constant criticisms is not one who's giving thanks. Their attitude, I don't like this, I don't like that. I don't approve of this person, I don't approve of that person. I don't understand, where is the Lord? Has he brought me out into the wilderness place to perish? Why aren't things better for me? God was well able to take care of those people in spite of their complaints. And at one time, the Lord was ready to wipe them off the planet Earth. But he was merciful. And when they didn't have water, he brought it out of a rock. And when they didn't have bread, he rained manna down from heaven. And then they complained about the bread. Same old stuff every day. Instead of being thankful that God gave them something, they complained about it. And then another obstacle to giving thanks is failure to recognize God's sovereignty. Job was an upright man, feared God, served God, had been abundantly blessed, was very prosperous, but in short order, he lost everything. Job chapter 1, verse 2 said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a testimony. At a later time, Job struggled, particularly after his friends came to visit. When you read that account, you say, with friends like that, you don't need any enemies. But these friends were harassing him and raising questions and disturbing his peace. But initially, Job's attitude is what it should have been. Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. He said, "The Lord gave me all of this, and the Lord took it away. God had a right to do that. I'm not going to complain. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He recognized the sovereignty of God. If you recognize his sovereignty, it will move you to have a thankful spirit. If you neglect to recognize it, it will generate unhappiness and complaints. Now, just as there are many obstacles to giving thanks, there are many calls in the Scripture and many examples of giving thanks. Think first about some of the Old Testament references. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 8. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all of his wondrous works." What are we told here? We're to sing unto the Lord. That's an admonition found both in the Old and the New Testament. We're to talk of his wondrous works. Oh my. People could talk about so many trivial things, discouraging things, frustrating things, divisive things. But what a blessing to talk about his wonderful works. This we're instructed to do. Verse then goes on to say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then in the book of Nehemiah, you recall it was a challenging thing to go back to the city when Nehemiah arrived there and saw the devastation, that the walls were broken down, the gates burned with fire, but he was determined to see that the wall was rebuilt and that the city would be restored as a place where people could comfortably live. There was opposition as they went about the building of the wall. Critics made fun of their effort. There were those that tried to divert them and get them into some kind of lengthy discussion which would have prevented them proceeding with their work on the wall. But finally, in record time, the wall was finished. And Nehemiah says, we're going to celebrate. So in chapter 12, verse 27, it says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps. And he appointed the people to get up on the wall in two companies, one going one direction and one going another. And they were singing and praising God, giving thanks. And it said, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. What a happy day is that, when God's people are full of thanksgiving and praising him. And their joy is such that it is even heard at a distance. And then a psalm very familiar when we're talking about giving thanks. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. What emphasis is put upon the giving of thanks here? You come to his courts. You come to his house. You come to church. You come here to give thanks. We express our thanksgiving in hymns, in our prayers, in acknowledging the truth that is preached from his word. Come into his courts with thanksgiving and be ye thankful.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. O ye who fear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Sometimes as we review the challenges we've encountered in this year, we may lose sight of the fact that there is still abundant reason for giving thanks to God. Let us be sure that we approach the Lord with thankful hearts during this Thanksgiving season. I pray that you will have a blessed time on Thursday of this week. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.